We get things underway by welcoming in a former major leaguer. He spent 8 years in Major League Baseball. Since then, has worked in a number of businesses as a sports broadcaster, the author of the book, The Magnificent Seasons, and a brand new book that is a wonderful read, After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets. He wrote it along with Eric Sherman, and we're thrilled to be joined by Art Chamsky. Art, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Before I talk about the book, I have to ask a personal question. When I was 8 years old, back in the 1960s, did you have a special deal going with the people at Topps? Because I swear, every package of baseball cards I opened, I got an Art Chamsky.
I don't know if that's good or bad, to tell you the truth. No, I didn't have anything special, but it's nice. I hope you saved them.
I did, absolutely. No, I loved them.
I'll make an offer to you. I'll buy them all for $1.
Oof, well, I may have to hold out for a little more than that. Art, I absolutely love this book. Now, obviously, here in New England, Red Sox fans, but every baseball fan was captured by that 1969 Mets team and that amazing story. I thought I knew the team pretty well, but I was surprised right away in the book by the role of Whitey Herzog, who was a huge part of that team's success.
Yeah, Whitey was the head of the minor league system at the time, and really helped develop some of the young players who went on to be the stars of the Mets. And I had a little bit of experience dealing with Whitey, and always a fair guy, and then went on to be a great manager in major leagues. And I was surprised that at one time after Gil Hodges passed away that he didn't get an opportunity to manage the Mets. Don't know the reasons why, but it was interesting to me because he was such a good baseball man, as proven by what he accomplished as managers in later years. But Whitey was a terrific guy, and interviewed him in the book also. Got a chance to talk to him about those young players that he saw, the Kuzmans and the Nolan Ryans and Kenny Boswells and all those young guys. So he was instrumental in a way for our success that year.
Everybody in the book, all of your teammates speak with such reverence and respect for Gil Hodges and the remarkable job that he did. And it started right away when he told you guys flat out that losing isn't funny.
Well, he joined the team in 1968. That was my first year. Also, along with Tommy Agee and Al Weiss, J.C. Martin, a few of us came over that winter over to the Mets, and that was Gil's first year as a manager. And I'll never forget that first day. And Gil was a very tough, stern, disciplinarian guy, ex-Marine. He was always seemed serious. And he said, just want to let you guys know you will not be the same old Mets that you've been. And, it was my first year, so I couldn't take the blame for those early years when they were known as the lovable losers. But we knew right away that Gil was serious. And he really was the catalyst behind our success. Not so much that year because we finished ninth, a half game out of last place, but you could see signs that we were going to be an improving ball club, and he really was the catalyst. He was the kind of manager that managed by feel. In other words, there was no printouts about our sabermetrics or anything like that. He knew what every guy on the team could do. He got everybody involved. He platooned in a lot of positions, and he made everybody feel like they were an important part of the team. And the success of that team in 1969 was really because of Gil Hodges.
And all of you on the team also stayed very close with his widow as well.
Yeah, she's still around, Mrs. Hodges, and I think she's about 93 at this point. Still lives in the same house that they lived in Brooklyn, and a beautiful lady. I actually think she's throwing out the first pitch on the fourth. I don't think she's going to throw it. I think her son, Gil Jr., is going to throw out the first pitch, first home game April 4th. At Citi Field. So she's still around, and she's still trying to get Gil in the Hall of Fame, and I, for one, have tried to do whatever I could to help in that regard. I do think he should be in it based on his playing career and managing the Mets, but it's a strange phenomenon. Who knows? But she's still got her hopes for that.
We're talking with Art Chamsky on Downtown about his book, After the Miracle, and as you recount that 69 season, one of the key moments for you was the acquisition of a guy who made a big difference in the middle of that lineup in Don Clendenin.
Yeah, Don was a big, strong first baseman, right-hand hitter, which we needed. He came over in, I think, the second week in June, and he was really a tremendous asset. He ended up platooning at first base with with Eddie Cranepool. We were still, though, going into August, not a great ball club. We were 9 games behind the Cubs going into August, and that was the first year of division play. And we were in the National League East. But Don was a tremendous asset to the team, and he was really a catalyst, and as witnessed by what he accomplished in the World Series. He was a World Series MVP. But we needed somebody like him, and it was frustrating for all of us who were getting platooned at first base and right field. I was with Ron Svoboda at second base, third base, and at sometimes behind the plate with Jerry Brody and J.C. Morton. But it was working, and we respected Gil so much. Nobody liked it. It wasn't a great situation. But when we all got an opportunity to play, we all produced that year. And we like I said, we didn't like it, but it was working, so we accepted it. But Gil had this way of making everybody feel like they were part of the team, and I think that's really to his credit.
You got some signs fairly early in the season that this was going to be a different type of year. Was it that win streak in late May and early June that made you guys believe things were different?
Yeah, I think that's true. Even though, as I said, going into August, we were still 9 games behind the Cubs, but we saw signs. In the season that we knew that we were a better ball club than in 68, and also that we were, our record showed. And really there was no secret. I think basically it came down to us finding ways to win close games. I mean, we found ways to lose close games, but we were always going to be, for the most part, we're always going to be in the games because we had Tom Seaver, we had Jerry Kuzman, we had Nolan Ryan, we had Gary Gentry, Tug McGraw. I mean, we had a great pitching staff and good defense. And we were going to be in close games, but we needed to find ways to win those close games. And we did. As the season went on, we'd win one game here, one game there. But we had winning streaks that gave us signs that we were going to be a really good ball club. But I'm really telling you from the truth that I remember is that from the middle of August on, we were almost unbeatable. I think we finished 9 or 10 games ahead of the Cubs, so there was a swing of like 18 games. And we beat a really terrific Atlanta Brave team in the playoffs, and then a very talented Baltimore Oriole team in the World Series. There's a little bit of trivia for you. I actually made the last out of the only game we lost in the World Series, game 1. And I don't know if that means anything, except I think about that at bat every day of my life. But we lost that game, and we still had confidence because Jerry Kuzman was pitching the second game. And he ended up pitching a great game, a no-hitter for 6 innings. And we won that game. We came back to New York 1-1. If we would have lost the second game and been 0-2, who knows what would have happened. We might have lost 4 in a row. But Jerry pitched a great game. We're 1-1. We come back to New York, and then we win the next 3, and the rest is history.
Well, and you say, and your teammates all say in the book, that as great as Tom Seaver was that year, if you needed a guy to win one game, it would have been a tough choice with all of you whether you go with Seaver or Jerry Kuzman.
Well, they both were terrific pitchers. I mean, Seaver had the great year. He was a Cy Young winner, and you couldn't take anything away from him. I've always said that Seaver was Van Gogh and Kuzman was Patton. I mean, they were complete opposite kinds of pitchers, but both very effective. Tom, of course, was, history will show, he's one of the greatest pitchers to ever pitch in the major leagues. But Jerry, on any given day, was as good as anybody. And when you needed a game to win, he was right there, and he would battle you, and he would fight you, and he would find ways to win. He was just a great, great pitcher, and he was a perfect second pitcher behind Tom Seaver that year. And he went on to have a great career also. He was a terrific left-handed pitcher.
Well, the book is wonderful, and the recounting of the 69 season is a great joy to look back on once again. But to me, what elevates this book and makes it something really special is the story of the journey and the reunion that you organized with some of your teammates, Kuzman, Bud Harrelson, Ron Svoboda, to go out and visit Tom Seaver in California.
Yeah, but we knew at the time, this is 2 years ago, and we knew at the time Tom wasn't doing much traveling, if any. And I wanted to write a book. I wrote it with a terrific writer by the name of Eric Sherman, who has written some really good books on the Mets and other things. And we talked about it, and I said, you know, Eric, I don't want to write a book that's just about day-to-day things that happened during the season. This is the 50th anniversary of that team. Let's do something special. And I didn't want to interview Tom on the phone, and we knew he wasn't 100%, so we decided to roll the dice and put together a group of guys, some teammates, and go out there, not even knowing if we were going to be able to see him. Because when I talked to him, he said, you know, my memory's not great, but talk to my wife and let's schedule it and see what we can do. And when I talked to her, she said, Art, you know, Tom has good days and bad days. If you get out here, it could be a bad day and you might not even be able to see him. But we rolled the dice. We went out there and met with him. It happened to be a good day, and it was a revelation for all of us to sit down and reminisce and tell the stories and talk about that year and that season. There's no doubt October 16th, 1969 changed all of our lives who were part of that team. So many things have happened, and so much good stuff has come out of that team. And when we sat down with Tom and reminisced, it was so great to talk about things that were important to all of us. And the book really is about that trip. It's not just about Tom Seaver. It's about all the guys on the team. But it's about the trip out there. And what the book really represents is a camaraderie, love for your teammates, and also about aging. You know, it's been 50 years, and life is funny. The aging process takes place, but we still have the memories, and we can talk about things that were really important to us. And I think the thing that's really, really important for us to remember is that we made people, collectively as a team, we made people feel better about their lives. It was a time in this country with the war in Vietnam, with the assassinations, with all sorts of problems in New York City, that we made people feel better about their lives in a sense that they could forget about all their problems and really follow us and grab onto us. And it's for us who were part of that team, it's always great to hear those stories. And I think people have passed that on from generation to generation. Kids who weren't even born know about that team because people have said how great we were and how we made people feel better about their lives at the time. And I think that's really an important factor to understand why this team resonates with so many people over so many years, is that we made people feel better about certain things in their life. And that's the best thing you could say about being an athlete, when you can make people feel better about their lives.
Well, and you guys, you and your teammates also modeled the behavior that we could all stand to see more of in America. And I think specifically of Jerry Kuzman and Ron Swoboda, who could not be more far apart politically and give each other a hard time, but ultimately show their love and respect for each other on this journey.
That's exactly true. I wanted those two guys to come with us because I was really ready to instigate every minute we were spent together. I would say something about Ronnie's political views, and then Kuzman would jump in and start arguing with him. I would then say something about Kuzman's political views, and Swoboda would jump in, and it was just magical to get those guys going again. But it was part of the plan to have those two guys, and then Buddy Harrelson was the third member, who has already announced that he's in early stages of Alzheimer's, and to get him out there and see Tom, who was his roommate, during his playing days, and for them to sit down and talk, it was just wonderful. But you were right about those two guys, Swoboda and Kuzman, two opposite ends of the political spectrum, but great guys and fun guys to be with. But I agitated them a little bit.
One of my favorite stories in the book, and can you share a little bit of the story that Tom Seaver told you about Gil Hodges asking him whether or not he noticed his wife sitting in the stands during games?
Well, Gil was you know, Mrs. Hodges and Gil had this wonderful relationship, and she still lives in the same house they lived in Brooklyn. And I think Tom made some bad pitches in one game, which was very rare, but Gil called him into the office the next day, and he said, did you notice if your wife was at the game? And to make a long story short, I mean, the whole story was about Tom taking on this new perspective about respect and admiration for Gil, but also noting that his wife was very important to him and his career, and it turned out to be very true.
Of course, Tom Seaver's wife, Nancy, the family has come out recently with news about Tom's condition. Have you talked to either Nancy or Tom since the book came out?
I did. The book came out Tuesday, and I haven't talked to her in about a month. And when I did talk to her, she said he was doing okay. So I assumed that he was either status quo or what hadn't gotten much worse than when he was. And when I say worse, it wasn't that he couldn't communicate. He just He had Lyme disease for over 20 years. And I think this Lyme disease really kind of affected certain aspects of his mental state and his physical state. And he told us out there he wasn't going to be traveling anymore. He wasn't going to be coming back to New York for anything. No more baseball things. He just wanted to enjoy his life with his family and take care of his wine acres that he has out in California. He loved doing that, and that was what he was going to do the rest of his life. Now, I haven't really talked to him since we were out there, but I have had some conversation with her. And I just, you know, I have to hope. I like to use the word is with Tom as opposed to was. I hope that he is okay and can lead a relatively normal life. I know he's not going to be making appearances, but I just hope that he's around for a long, long time and that and the people. I just heard today that the Mets are going to build a statue or put a statue up about him at the stadium, and they're going to name a street right along Citi Field also. So these are wonderful things that happened to him, and I hope he's around and can enjoy that whole process.
Absolutely. Well, Art, I love the book. It's a wonderful baseball book, but also a very poignant story about the power of friendship and aging and bonds that last over the course of many, many decades. We congratulate all of you on the 50th anniversary of that memorable season that Mets fans or not, everybody was caught up in, and it's been great talking with you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rich. It was great. Thank you so much.
Art Chomsky, the book is called After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets.